Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. So I've got several guests here this morning. I've got Stefan and his family, and at some point we'll allow him to introduce them, if he so deems necessary. And we have Sue. Sue's back for, I don't know, her 35th time probably.
Yeah, but, okay, yeah.
She's so young, I should say only three or four times, because she always hits me on that one. But anyway, welcome, folks. Really glad to have you here. It's going to be an interesting show because we're going in a few different directions. As you know out there, we focus on the 12 steps, and we're working on the fourth step this month because it's April, which is month number four, and that's about taking inventory, which means we really have an in-depth look at ourselves, and whatever way we do that, we come up with the realization that we are here, but you know, how did we get here, and what kind of mistakes did we make along the way, and where are we now, and where do we go from here? So inventory is kind of crucial to the whole philosophy. You know, we come to a place with a problem of some sort, and at some point we hope that people look higher and reach for a spiritual answer, and when they do, we want them to get related to that spiritual answer in whatever way they can. We're mostly Christians here, but we're not on a Christian radio station, so we don't play that up. However, it's how we believe, and it is not necessarily how you do, and we want you to know you're welcome no matter what you believe. So inventory is a place where we hope after we're related to something spiritual, because that gives us the power and the strength and the courage to really look at who we are and how we got here. And folks, if we don't know who we are or how we got here, how are we going to know what we have to work on? So that's the basis of the fourth step. And as I was telling Stefan here earlier, we have a life recovery devotional that works on the basis of 12 steps and 12 months. So the corresponding month, which would be the fourth month, that would mean we're on step four and day 16, because it's the 16th, and so on. So that's how that works, and we'll get back to that another time. So I'm going to start with you, Stefan, because you're the newest guy on the block right today anyway, and Sue's a young hand.
I was that right, Scott. you keep those words, choosing those words wisely, my
friend. I can say that because she's so much younger than me, probably 10 years or something.
10? More than that.
More than that, folks.
And I'm at least 10 years younger than her.
Oh,
absolutely.
Okay, there we go.
So,
okay.
So no, you're
I'm
the,
in the
baby
middle.
Here.
Okay.
But you have your baby over there.
Yeah,
she looks older than 10 to me, so you know, we're getting into some number problems here, so... Stefan, you've been in the, we'll call it the warrior game, although your wife has certainly been in the warrior game too, so a whole bunch of stories in this family, folks, and in this family, and we'd like you to hear them all, and you probably won't be able to hear them all today, but you get bits and pieces, and also, we're not limited. We have an hour every week, so we can do this as often as we want, and in whatever way it fits mutually into our time schedules. Stefan, tell us a little about your journey. You can tell us where you're at. You can tell us how you got here. You can highlight. You can, you can bring your faith in it to a degree. As I say, we can't preach here because we're open to all people. You can bring your daughter and her future and what she wants to do, and of course your wife with a powerful testimony, I can tell just by what you said on the way in here. But I'm going to let you go a little, and you can go at your pace and in whatever format you want. But tell us a bit about you. Who are you? And
great.
Where
but you first at? Of all, good morning, Stouffville. It's good to be here this morning and all that with you guys. Honestly, it's an honor to be here. Susan brought me here, really, so we've met, and we have some stuff in common. But to go back to my story, I was born west of Labrador. And when I was 8 years, I have a sister, younger sister. When I was 8 years old, my dad left us for another woman. So basically, in a way, my mom was working 9 to 9. So I was working. I was raised without a mother or father figure. And it was pretty complicated sometimes, pretty stressful. You know, you wonder why they don't love me or things like that. But when divorce happened, the children or people close to the family always will suffer. And we were going to church all the time for us, and I couldn't understand a good talk about this man Jesus that was with us in all time, right? Try to explain that to a young kid that his dad has just abandoned him.
Yeah.
So at 14, I went with my dad, and I have more freedom, no time curfew, could come and go as I please. And then I was going to the strippers with my dad at 14 years old, drinking heavily with my dad. And so this is a big start of it. So that was what did really happen. But if we go on to the journey, I was living with my mom, then I moved with my dad around the age of 14, 15 years old. But I made a pact with him at the age of 16. I said, Dad, if you stop drinking, I'm going to jump in the military. But if you drink again, I'm going to quit. So I ended up joining at the age of 17 years old with the impression that we would be back home after a couple of weeks. But my dad kept his promises for over 20 years.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, the government told us at the time, if you're old enough to fight for your country, you're old enough to drink. So I didn't lose a beat. I was going to slush any chance I had because that's what I was taught. My dad. Then, but now I believe you have to be 19 or 21 to drink in the military. So I joined the military. In 1990-91, I served overseas during the Gulf War, the Desert Storm. So when I returned to Canada after the war, I became a physician instructor in the military, the guys that whip you in shape all along your career. But all my life, I've been looking for my father figure. All my life. Just like a man-to-man father and son relationship, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then I remember in 1995, I told my dad about the cage fighting, a no-holds bar type of combat called the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And he told me how much he loved watching it. So that was only a few rules at the time. No eye gouging, no mouth fishing, no biting, no time limit, no weight limit. Yeah, you were allowed to pull hair, hit the groin, and headbutt. But now there's over 25 rules. So a few months after that, a friend of mine asked me if I was interested with sparring with Big Daddy Gary Goodrich, a guy who became a legacy in the sport, and a legend in the sport. I said, hey, if he doesn't clean my clock, I would love to. Maybe I would get my dad's attention. So I began a new era in my life, training different fighting discipline with Gary, i.e. boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, karate, judo, and so on. And for 6 years after that, I traveled the world with Gary and my training partner from Canada, United States to Japan for the No Holds Barred tournament. Yeah, now UFCs became very, very popular for some people, but I've never fought myself in UFC. I want to make it that clear. And so far, that's what it is. Pretty well. In 95, I met my future wife, Karen, while instructing in fitness class in the military. Just to elaborate on my wife a little bit, she was the first ever female in the Canadian Armed Forces to serve with the RCD regiment, just like the G.I. Jane movie.
Wow.
Playing war with the boys, carrying a weapon, rucksack, and kit, just like the boys. She served in Bosnia and Yugoslavia, and she was held hostage for 2 weeks and came into two different missile attacks. But Karen was injured while she was on a sea container, dodging bullet, injuring her neck and shoulder when she jumped down. So she requiring two surgeries, which is, she did 21 years of military service, and she retired after that. So far, so good. Wow.
Amazing.
Yes.
Karen, my hat's off to you. And I thank you for what you've done for our country. And I really appreciate you people. You know, both my parents were war vets in the Second World War. Mom was in the entertainment end of it, and Dad was a special services guy. So anyway, not to interrupt, but
no, that's good.
I understand a lot of what you're saying. You know, my dad was around, but he was never around because of the booze. So I wouldn't say I ever felt abandoned. But I never felt like I had a dad until, in my case, 16. I went and drank with him, and that's when we became
rite
friends.
As
I'm sure Stefan will tell you later on, I didn't really. That friendship was kind of phony, like most things built around booze, you know. So anyway, Stefan, very interesting on being brought up or bringing yourself up, I guess, in so many ways, and. And always looking for that figure, because I understand that well. And you know what, the sad thing, and you haven't done that, but I did the same thing to my kids. You know, just drank a lot, stayed on the road, and kept away. I mean, I came back and did special. Like, my daughter was a gymnast, and my son was a judo guy. So, we did everything together in that sense, the spotlights.
Mm-hmm.
But the real living at home together and doing the... the daddy son daughter thing. I never did it, you know, and I never thought much about it, but I do now when I hear you talking your story. You know, it's so important to be involved the right way, and maybe someday Chelsea will tell us that story.
It's funny, we talked about successful people today, and it seems like we see the world that if you have more money, you're successful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I learned that being successful today is not being a good dad, but to be a great dad and a great husband. And mm-hmm. I have to work on that.
Yeah.
Providing, be there for them, be listening ears. I'm still working on this one sometime, you know what I mean? So I'm a guy raising a daughter, so my wife tells me that it's a different type, you know what I mean? You have to take it more soft, and which is true. But in general, I'm learning a lot. I'm still learning. As I said, I don't want to be just good. I want to become greater.
Well, you know, there's one thing I want to ask you. We'll go into PTSD maybe a little bit, and you can both pipe in if you like, or all three, four, five, whoever. And by the way, Jason, our producer, is I've been with us for a few years, and I like to say every week that Jay's recently been... he's had a kidney that his sister gave him 19 and a half years ago.
Oh, that's right.
And it's starting to fail, and he was born with one, right, Jay?
That's right, just born with the one kidney.
So he needs another one, and that's one of my missions is to, and prayer warriors and so on, is to make sure he gets one. He's just been fitted with a fistula. He's been through this before so that he can go on dialysis as that kidney fails, if it does. Hopefully it never does, but he's ready that way, and we want to get you listeners out there to back up this guy, pray for this guy.
Definitely
so
pray for him,
thank you.
What's going on. So Jay, thanks as always, and pleasure and an honor to be
always a pleasure to be here, part of your life. Sharing the burden team.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate that. So anyway, we're going to defer to Jay for a minute and let him pay some bills as the usual drill on Community Radio Station 102.9 here in Stouffville, and we'll let him pay a couple of bills. We'll come back and talk a little about PTSD.
All right, we're going to pay some bills, and we'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.